Good morning, good morning. So good, the presence of the Lord is so good this morning. And there is free worship, and there is free adoration of the Lord. This morning I heard a new term used, and I thought it's amazing. The new term that I've heard this morning from amongst us is this word, the chosen frozen. Oh, we are not the chosen frozen. We are the chosen ones that can just be relaxed in the presence of the Lord and enjoy His presence. We are not frozen in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. We're the chosen ones able to enjoy the presence of the Lord. God is so good this morning. And I believe that there is a word for us this morning, even as we sit with Him and even as we listen from Him. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Dear Lord, we thank you so much. We are the chosen one. And we are not the chosen frozen. Thank God for that, Lord. Because we don't want to freeze in your presence, either from the cold or even from the fear of you. You know, so many of us, Lord, can fear you so much till we are frozen in your presence. Lord, we don't want that. And we know that you don't want that as well. And we want to be warmed by your word this morning. And we want to be able to go forth in power. Like what the song says, we won't be silent. And when we have been warmed by you and know what you want here, then we can go out there and not be silent. So we give you thanks, dear Lord, for your power this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have a very unusual title this morning, which I have struggled a lot whilst wanting to do this for you this morning. And the title this morning is Disarming the Smart Aleck. Right. King Saul in the Old Testament was a smart aleck. He thinks he could do everything, and he behaves as if he can do anything. And no one, of course, could challenge him because he's the king of Israel. And one day when Samuel the prophet was late in coming to offer the sacrifices to God, and in the Old Testament, only the priest could offer sacrifices to God. Only the priest. No one can, not even the king. King Saul, being the smart aleck, decided that even without consulting God, that he would be the one who would offer the sacrifices to God. And so he defied the order of God. He depended on himself to achieve his task. Wow, that's a smart aleck behavior, isn't it? There is a Singapore slang, and I need to say this in Hokkien. If I don't say this in Hokkien, which is one of the Chinese dialects, excuse me, those who don't understand Hokkien, I shall interpret very soon. Is this slang called kiang to ho, mai ge kiang? Meaning, it's good to be smart, but don't be a smart aleck. Because the smart aleck needs to be disarmed. God doesn't like us to be smart alecks. God wants us to be smart. You know that? God wants us to be smart to get on in this world, because this world is a very smart world. And so God wants us not to be the chosen frozen or freezing in our power, but God wants us to be smart to get on in the world. That's why in Matthew 10, 16, he says, you are to be wise as serpents. And then he wants you to live out Philippians 4, 13, which says, I can do all things. So God wants you to be smart by being self-sufficient. I can do all things. Who can do all things? I can do all things. And then he wants you to be competent. I can do all things. Not I think I will do. I can do all things. Wow. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that this competence comes from God. So if you read 2 Corinthians 3, 5, it says competence comes from God. And in the same chapter, in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3, 6, it says God wants us to be ministers of the New Testament, wants us to be competent ministers of the New Covenant. In other words, God transforms us into His image, and that is to mean we have the ability to problem solve. That's why Pastor is very good in problem solving. You know, you see one hole, Pastor knows what to do. He has the ability to problem solve. The roof leaks, he knows where to go. He has the ability to problem solve because God transforms us so that we can have His image to problem solve. We have the capability and the strength to do difficult tasks and to be perfectly able to fill a need. Wow. But the difference is this. But Christ doesn't want us just to be sufficient in ourselves. God just doesn't want us to be smart in ourselves. Christ wants us to be self-sufficient and competent through Him. I think this one must read. Philippians 4:13. Let's turn to it. This is a very, very important verse. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And it's so often quoted. I can do all things through Him that strengthens me. So the identity of your smartness, so we all can be smart, we all need to be smart because God makes us smart. Hey? No chosen, frozen, huh? Okay. The identity of our smartness needs to be rooted in our dependence on Him. In other words, our smartness comes from the spiritual union with Him, through Him who strengthens us. What are the difficult tasks at hand that you need to do? I don't know what tasks you have got to do at the moment that is really hard, but Christ is in you to help you do all things. What are the needs you are to fill at this moment? I don't know what needs they are totally, but Christ's strength is in you to fill those needs so that you can make somebody's life better. Or maybe to make your own life better. My question today is, what do we do? How do we do it smart in our world today? Number one is to disarm from the performance trap. This guy is standing in front of a maze. This is like our world sometimes with all its performance traps, yeah? You look at it and you don't know where to go. Don't know which way to turn. In our very merit-seeking society, we can easily fall into the performance trap because you need to show that you have it. The world wants to see what are they paying you for. You need to show what you have it. You need to prove it. And so Paul the Apostle, in this chapter, in 2 Corinthians 3, he sends the pressure coming from the Corinthian church because the Corinthian church was a very wealthy church. And Corinth is a very affluent society because it's intellectually alert, is materially prosperous, but it's morally corrupt. So anyway, Paul the Apostle is in this society and he's hearing things from the Corinthian church. And Paul asks this question. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? He's asking this question because in the early church, if you want to go to another locality, you need to have a letter of commendation from the mother church so that when you go to the other place, you will have a good reference. It's very much like our situation in Perth, isn't it? If you want to rent a house or do a job, you need a reference letter from your employer or from your real estate agent so that you get a good reference that people know, oh, okay, he's fine, she's fine. I can rent this house or give this job to this person so that your credibility is high. And so Paul asked the Corinthian church if he and his co-workers need to be validated for the quality of work and whether they need to have evidence to show that they were doing a good job. See, having a commendation or a recommendation is all part of our world. Our performance is often assessed by the opinions of others, isn't it? In fact, very much, if you are in the social media, you know that a lot of things come because of popularity vote, right? Like, now you know what this sign is because TikTok says it's a person in trouble. You know, by popularity understanding, we know what these signals mean. See, people don't just go to a restaurant these days. They want to find out through Google whether it's a raving review. They don't just go to the cinema to watch a movie. They want to have the IMDb rating or IMDb. IMDb, let me check my notes. IMDb, see, I don't check this. My husband checked this. They will check the IMDb rating to see whether or not it's a good movie to watch. And if you want to know how good this Instagram post is or this TikTok account is, you must look at the number of likes, you know. And sometimes you need to be really, really sensational so that the more sensational you get, the more response you get. And some posts are such bad taste just to elicit response. We can be sucked into the performance trap, and we need to be disarmed from it. Paul didn't allow the Corinthian church to make him question his credibility or his competence in God. He knows that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He knows that he is the competent minister of the new covenant. And he also knows that his strength and his ability comes to him at a very great cost. He can do all things through Christ, not because he is able, but because Christ enabled him. He can do many things on his own, and some of the things that you are given at the moment, it may be something you need to do on your own. I want to tell you this good news, that you can do all things, including things that you are given on your own to do. Some things you need to struggle alone. Some things you need to think yourself. But you are given the strength and the power to be able to do it because Christ is in you and He is working through you. And that's why Paul was able to do this, because he knows that his strength doesn't just get plucked up from the air, like suddenly this morning you wake up, you have the strength. Whoa, woo, strong. Nah. Paul knows that the strength is given to him is struggled out of the depths of suffering because of Christ, who is in conflict with all powers of darkness, that he is able to have the perfect spiritual strength from God to do what he is called to do. You have the strength that was labored for, that was struggled for, and that was bled for. And so the strength from God doesn't come easy for Jesus. The strength that you are given on a daily basis is very precious and very sacred. So don't divide, don't diffuse, don't dilute your strength that comes from the union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is the gift of God to you given on the cross. There are some assignments that God will require you to do it alone, and you may need to be sure of your competence in God. Because this knowledge that you have your competence in God will prevent you from being vulnerable to the whim and fancy of everybody. And we don't have to dance to everyone's tune. We don't have to be caught in the performance trap. Hallelujah. See, if we have an unhealthy dependence on others, sometimes you can question your competence in God. And sometimes through the opinions of others, it can pressurize you to listen to what is louder, because people's voices are very loud. And the loud voices may not necessarily be the voice of God. Because I discovered in my Christian life all this time that God usually speaks in a whisper. And God usually speaks in a still small voice. I don't know about you. I've not heard the audible voice of God as yet. But I've heard His whisper and I've heard the voice of God. So if we unhealthily depend on others for our strength, then we can be pressurized to listen to what is louder, but not necessarily what is God's voice. King Saul defined himself against others. He was dependent. He had no self-sufficiency in God. He was lost, especially when Samuel, the prophet, his spiritual rock, died. So one day when Israel was at war with the Philistines, Saul consulted with a medium, with a medium, to call forth the spirit of Samuel to tell him what to do. Samuel already dead, gone to heaven with the Lord. And Saul is still trying to consult the medium to get the spirit of Samuel to tell him what he should be doing with the problem he is facing. Saul couldn't stand on his own two feet, and he made a poor choice, and he consulted the spiritual world, which displeases the Lord tremendously. He felt he had to perform, and that's why, because he didn't have the power, he didn't have the strength, and he still has got to operate as king, he needed to resort to something like that. So sometimes the pressure to perform can make us resort to unhealthy coping mechanism, and some of this behavior can lead us to negative consequences. That's why we need to disarm from the performance trap. Don't let others tell you what to do. Because sometimes what others tell you may be contrary to what God wants you to do. Jeremy Griffiths, in his devotional on Luke, if you bought his Luke devotional, he says this: it is a human tendency to perform some kind of stunt and to use your powers and do something unusual and sensational. This is the same challenge Satan gave to Jesus in the wilderness to tempt him to turn stones to bread. We have got a very weak self. Our self is very easily tempted to do something very sensational. Turn bread to stone. And that's why the devil told Jesus, well, if you are God, Jesus, tell you what, turn the bread to stone. And then Jesus say, no, I don't live by bread alone. Huh? But to do the will of the Father, see, the Lord Jesus knows himself. But if we don't know ourselves, the self can be very easily tempted to do a lot of things. So, I can do all things, when you read this verse, right? Don't apply it and say, oh, that means I can roll the water, flash the lightning, weigh the sun. We can't. But sometimes, certain expectation from other people can make us feel like we need to perform the impossible. And then what do? We raise unrelenting standards for ourselves. We raise unrelenting standards for other people. And then when we can't keep up, we work harder, and that really drains us of all our energy. I want to say this morning, we can get off the spin of the performance trap. We can keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are competent. We don't need to prove we are competent. We read in the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 3, we are competent. That means we have the ability to solve problems. We have the ability to do difficult tasks. We have the ability to do the impossible. if that's what God wants us to do. We are competent in Christ. It is not by proving, it is not by striving, it is by knowing that I can do all things through Christ because Christ is my strengthener. At any one time, if you feel alone and no one is around you, tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ. Christ will come and give you the strength that you need. Paul knows the secret of his competence because it is not a self-dependence. It is not an independence of pride. It is merely resting upon Christ and his Spirit. And it comes from the relationship with the Spirit. And that's why he's able to develop a self-sufficiency in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my second point is, we can be self-sufficient in Christ because we can be armed with the life-giving Spirit. And that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Yeah, I want you to see this scripture. So do read the scriptures from your Bible or from your mobile. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as minister of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the Holy Spirit is Paul's secret strength, secret weapon, you call it, the secret inspiration. It is through the power of God's Spirit and Paul's relationship with the Spirit that he has got the vigor and the vitality to do groundbreaking work. And he had to do groundbreaking work because he penetrated the world of the Gentiles with the gospel of Christ for the very first time, Lydia being the first convert. We too, good news, we too are called to be the competent minister of the new covenant. We too are filled with the life of the Spirit to do significant work for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there was a message given by Pastor Aaron. He says, whatever is in your basket. So what is in your basket? Is it 5 loaves, 2 fish? Or is it the other miracle, 7 loaves and a few small fish? Whatever it is that is in your basket, you are called to be a competent minister of whatever that is in your basket. Paul, through the help of the Holy Spirit, he disarmed the smart aleck. He was actually quite a smart aleck. In fact, he boasted. He says, what did he say? He say he was circumcised on the 8th day. He say he was from the tribe of Benjamin. So it's like, you know, I have many Rolls Royces, I have many Merc, I have many houses, you know. It's that sort of a modern day boasting. He says, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and I'm a Pharisee who keeps the law to the strictest obedience. He was actually a smart aleck. But when he became apostle, when he was converted on the road to Damascus, he became from that very rough and tough apostle, full of himself, apostle, he became the gentle apostle. Bible tells us that he is like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And it was Paul that says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul, lover of himself. I thought his whole heart was only him. But here he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then he says, I regard all these things, Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee, all these mighty things. He says, I regard them as rubbish. Wow. Paul realized that religion is dead. All the education and accomplishments could help him get by with a reasonable income, with a good life in wherever he's staying, in Rome or wherever he's staying, or in Jerusalem. He can do that. But it will never save his soul. He realized that all the things he has will never be able to save his soul. Because he tells us, the letter kills. In other words, all the rules and all the regulations and all the methods for successful living becomes chains around his feet. He had to work and work and work and work for his salvation. He got to work and work and work for his happiness and his dreams. No, I don't think God wants us to be there. Thank God. This morning, Robin says, his burden is light. His yoke is easy. So which means, through his spirit gives life. So the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. When you have the spirit in your life, it is like an internal combustion engine that charges you and drives you forward. Paul's union with the Spirit gives him the strength to be able to do things that surpass him. A lot of you are doing things beyond your strength, beyond your age. A lot of us are doing these things. The reason is because the Spirit in you gives you the life. And some of the things, as I said, you need to do alone. Some of you are struggling with houses that you've got to maintain. Some of you have got to struggle with offices that got to be kept in a particular order. Some of you are dealing with people that need to have special loving, tender loving care. Some of you are doing the impossible. It's because the Spirit of God is in you, the Spirit that gives life, that is in you, that is able to help you do exactly that. You are self-sufficient in Christ to do what you need to do. Because this spirit that we believe in is a liberating spirit. The spirit has come to set you free. If you read Proverbs 31, and I always get this, you know, I don't think this woman is real, because the thing that this woman is required to do is impossible. But yet the Bible describes this Proverbs 31 woman. It is impossible, but with God, all things are possible, because the liberating Spirit of God is in her to express herself at home, express herself in the community. And the Bible says that her worth is far more than rubies. And you will love this. You will love this. The Common English Bible calls this Proverbs 31 woman the competent woman. Calls this woman the competent wife. Calls this woman the woman that surpasses all competent women. That means she is the most competent of all the competent women. Wow, men, I know it feels really unfair for you. But, you know, you are also made the competent minister, which is a man and a woman as well. But this one in particular is for women, right? That women, I know you work so hard in your home, but the Spirit of the Lord is in you to give you life, to do the mopping and cleaning and taking care of the kids. The Spirit gives you life. And I tell you what, your value is worth more than a ruby. God wants to tell you that. Your worth is more than a ruby. No one maybe has said that to you, but God wants to tell you that your worth is more than a ruby, and that God calls you a competent wife. And God calls you a competent woman. And even though you do things in secret, God reveals His reward to you openly. This is God. The Spirit of God is liberating. It will free us from our frailty and our fatigue. Sometimes, you know, you get really tired, you know. And Paul says this. Paul says, outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So some of the times we feel the tiredness and the exhaustion, but the Lord wants to tell us that the Spirit of God is alive inside of us. The Spirit of God never dies. We can die of exhaustion. We can be very fatigued, but the Spirit of God in you is still alive. And the Spirit of God wants to free you from all the blocks and all the barriers of you being smart, of you being competent in this world. Because the Spirit of God doesn't want you to put up with comparison or competitiveness or contempt. There are certain words that are so big, they are put over your head from a very long time ago that make you feel not enough or make you feel never enough. But the Spirit of God wants to come here and break chains. Robin, your song comes here to break chains so that you are able to believe. So that you are able to believe that you are competent in Christ. You don't always have to entertain the failure to achieve, like you never started and you already think you have failed. You don't have to end up always feeling this way. You don't have to end up always feeling limited or impaired. You are free in Christ to be able to defeat mindsets that have been with you for a long time. Because Christ is your strengthener, and therefore you are more than conquerors. This is not positive talk, yeah. This is not those positive talk like, you know, come on, boost up your ego. Come on, get pumping. It's not that sort, yeah. It is to say that the Spirit of God is within you. And the Spirit of God gives you life. And you don't have to prove yourself. If God put you in your job, God gives you the ability to stay in that job with the competence that you have, because this competence comes from God. Hallelujah. If we can think like that, then we can know who we are. And when you know who you are, then you already have your identity. And Christ wants to give us that identity. Christ don't want you to be defined in your identity by people outside because they don't know you. But Christ knows us intimately, and He wants to give us an identity, and He wants to tell you that by the work of Jesus on the cross, you are already competent. You don't have to strive some more. You strive and strive. Christians become very slavish. Always want to slave for the Lord. Huh? Like David. Was it David who wants to build a house for God? Whoa, God, I want to build a house for you. God say, no, David, I built a house for you. We always want to, slave away and be burdened. I got burdened. Ayo. So if 10 people, you have got burden for 10 people, 10 people weigh you down. Ayo. Christianity, very miserable and somber because you carry so many burdens. Have you gone to the airport and see people lugging their luggages around? Oh, not stylish. So much. There was once we went one trip long ago. Oh, beautiful memories of our trip, huh? And we lug around with so many luggages. Wow, even so embarrassed. We bought a pillow even. Not cool. You see those cool ones? One bag. Wow, stylish. The Lord Jesus wants us to be smart. Don't carry too many luggages, burdened with too many things. No. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. The Lord wants to give us an identity. Our identity is a child of God. And our identity is that we've got a Father who carries those luggages for us. And He says to you, your burden is light and your yoke is easy. And then He tells you in 2 Corinthians 3:3, He says, you are the letter from Christ. You are written with the Spirit of the living God. You are purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the letter from Christ. In other words, you are the one that Christ loves to write on. And He writes in your heart and He writes in your life with the Spirit of the living God. Wait for the writing of the Lord on our lives. Wait for it. Writing takes time. You need to let the Lord wait, write on you. Slowly, manuscript. Ooh, beautiful. Because God wants to use your beautiful life to communicate to the world around you. And Christ wants to write on your lives day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. As you give yourselves to Him, God wants to do some imprinting in your heart and imprinting in your life. But you see, when the Spirit of the Lord is there, something that is very, very natural. Where there is the Spirit of God, there will be a seeking of God. Because the Spirit of God is put in the heart of man not to make, not to carry our luggages only. But the Spirit of God is put into our life so that we can seek the Lord Jesus. His job is to reveal Jesus to us. So when your heart wants to seek Him, we need to channel that to a healthy outlet of prayer or reading His Word. Don't very quickly just silence it, stifle it, and go and do other things. Because it's a lot easier to go and look at the Facebook, or a lot easier to go to your hobbies and do your knitting. It's very easy, actually. It's really easy, right? Watch your TV. It's really easy. But don't let that seeking find expression in all these usual means only. But let it be a time where we can rely on the Lord for solutions and also for forging our identity. The secret of our identity is that we have a habit of reliance upon Christ. When you are able to rely on Christ, the things that you do will come out really, really different. And you know it. You know it. And so that's why we need to make prayer our second nature. I'm praying that next year that we will be able to have more of you come and pray. So far, we usually have about 10 of us, week in and week out. Usually, we have about 10 of us. But next year, I'm praying that you will come and pray. Because if you make prayer your second nature, strength will come to you. This strength cannot be corrupted by anyone or by the things outside of the presence of God. It will be with you. And that's why we sing songs like, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." Huh? You know the song? "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord." Yeah? Strength will come as we wait on Him. Strength to know who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude with this story. I want to very happily tell you that those people who submitted your forms to be given to your MPs for the Religious Freedom Bill, they are safe in the hands of these two persons, a couple in their 80s. They are my friends, and they have requested if the church would be able to come in and be a part of this campaign. And this couple, they are in their 80s, but they remind me of Psalm 92, verse 14, that says, "The righteous will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, full of vitality and richness." Wow, the ones who are over 50 says... The ones who are over 60 says, amen. The ones who are over 70 says, amen. A bit softer. This elderly couple would have consulted God before they undertook the project, and they would have allowed God to write on their lives. I think God called them. And one of the best things when God calls you, that you can answer. And they answered to say, yes, we can do that. We can go around rallying for churches, for support, to write letters to the MPs. I think many times we want to take the pen out of God's hand, isn't it? I mean, God is the story writer. He's the author. But sometimes we wish we can take the pen out of God's hand, because sometimes God can be a bit slower than us in some respect to answer our problems, huh? Or answer our requests. It is a little bit slower. Like, we are so impatient, we want to like just rush it and take it from Him and write. And sometimes we can blur the writing. Sometimes we can deface the writing of God. And this couple in their 80s could say, "No, Lord, we can't do this." Or, "No, Lord, we are not politically sharp." Or, "No, Lord, this assignment is too challenging." But what I'm really happy is that they took on the challenge. God called them. They availed themselves as a letter from Christ. God wrote on their lives and say, would you be willing to do this only for this time? It's only a window because the religious freedom bill will be passed very soon. And so there's only a very, very small window. And so they did. They agreed. And they are so grateful for all the forms that came in. Of all the churches in Perth, even though they got only 14 churches, they are really, really grateful. And they received my forms with great thankfulness. God wants to author our lives. We may not be in our 80s, we may be in our 20s, we may be in our 50s. Young and old, God treasures us as gold. You know, God loves us, and God loves to write on every page of our lives if we allow Him. God wants to author our lives because God sees potential and God sees the smartness of the Lord Jesus in us. We don't think we are that smart, but you know, the smartness of Jesus is in us, and God wants to reveal it. And if we are willing to seek Him in prayer and seek Him in reading His Word, and not be fallen into the performance trap, and allow the Spirit of the living God to give you the life and to wait on Him for strength, I tell you what, every day becomes a new day. And no wonder Christians are called new creation. New creation. New creation reflecting the miraculous workmanship and the penmanship of God. God loves to write on our lives. And our hearts of flesh, we give it to Him to write so that we can do significant things through Christ, who is our strengthener. Church, you are competent. You can do all things through Christ. You are self-sufficient. You can do all things through Christ. And when you do that through Christ, you will get your identity, the identity of being a child of God and the identity of being a letter from God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. So good, Lord. Yes, Lord, we are a new creation. We are quickened with a new life. And each day there is a new page to be written. We like to surrender our new page to you, dear Lord, on a daily basis. Would you, O Lord, write on our lives? Would you, O Lord, help us to allow others to read our lives so that they can see a God that is alive and flourishing in us, whether it's in prosperity or in pain, whether it's in sickness or in health. Oh, dear Lord, help us. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I want to stand and sing this song louder. There is a song that is within us, and let it rise to God today. Come on, let's stand and let's sing
this song
together.